Welcome to Mirth, Magic, and Mayhem, the AARPG's new actual play series using the Dragonbane RPG by Free League Publishing. I'm Nathan, your host, co-GM, and I'll also be playing Brains, the idiot Wolfkin thief. Let's meet my friends and fellow cast members.
I'm Malcolm, your co-GM, and I'll also be playing Corinne Rinesmith, the judgy halfling bard.
Hi, I'm Tyr, and I'll be playing Dane Ringson, a human scatterbrain scholar.
I'm Chris, and I'm playing Sigyn, elfin huntress.
Hey all, this is Anthony, and I play Kurgan, and he wants to remind you,
you should go and get stuffed.
Hello everyone, this is Sean. Now we'll be playing Baylor Banefire, Dwarf Artisan Specialist.
I'm Tim, AARPG's latest temporary double seeker probationary player. I play Quiverwing, the enchanting mallard whose spellbinding plumage shivers like distant lightning on a moonlit night.
Together, we'll explore ancient secrets of a long-forgotten empire, facing challenges and forging our destiny in a world where every castle, cave, and crypt holds the echoes of a bygone era. Get ready for an epic journey filled with laughter, suspense, and unforgettable moments in the Misty Vale.
Hello and welcome to the Advanced Age Roleplay Gamers Podcast. I'm Nathan, I'm your host and GM for this evening. We are playing Dragonbane. This is episode 26 of Mirth, Magic, and Mayhem. And tonight, we are graced by the presence of someone who we'd totally forgotten about and weren't really sure that they were even part of this.
I've been in the other 25 episodes. Oh, him.
Yeah, I was like, you've been here all the time.
If you've been listening, you may have noticed that our buddy Matt – say hi, Matt.
Hi, Matt.
Our buddy Matt joined us a while back, not too long ago, for a brief interlude.
Interlude is my adventure that I ran.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's a brief interlude of Malcolm running.
Interlude is the club that I used to go to.
That was interlude.
Oh, sorry.
You walked into that one, bud.
Welcome back, Matt. Glad to have you back with us full time. He's not allowed any more vacation or work interruptions. I've written a note and I've delivered it to the right people. And they.
Do you really think his wife is going to listen to your note? She will find you.
Yeah, thanks, Nathan. I got fired.
Oh, I got some hot dog water for you.
Yeah. No, it's good to be back.
Well, yeah, that's what you're supposed to say. Are you sure?
We'll see. Night's young.
Okay. I don't think we've done this in a bit. Why don't we just go around and do a little introduction of our characters and show how Matt and how it's done. And we'll start with Chris.
Oh, fuck you. Oh, Jesus. So I'm Chris. I'm playing Sigyn Uatavenratia, the Elven Huntress.
And Tyr.
Hi, I'm Tyr, and I'm playing Dane Ringson, the Human Scholar.
Human Scholar.
Human-esque.
Hi, I'm Malcolm. I'm playing Corinne Rinesmith, the Halfling Bard.
And Sean.
Hello, I'm Sean. I'm playing Baylor Banefire, Artisan Dwarf, which is basically a blacksmith, I'm sorry.
We all know you're a smith.
Yes, and I am.
And last but not least, Matt.
Matthew. Hello. Yeah, my name is Matt, and I'll be reprising my role of Darg the Bastard, a human fighter.
Darg the Bastard. We have such a long history with Darg the Bastard, so I'm glad we're going to get more of Darg the Bastard in Dragonbane.
And we're all going to take turns playing Corgan Stonehammer by Tony Kubo.
And we can all use a different accent, because why not? He does it.
Wait. And I'm going to play Tim as an NPC.
Yay. It's like he's in a room with me.
We got to simulate the sound of his CPU heating up and setting fire in the house.
Well, I could do that with my laptop, which I should quiet down. Love you, Tim. Wish you were here.
No, we really wish you were here.
Yeah, and Tony, too.
Yeah, but Tony's
not Tony 1, but, Tony, you know, 2.
Corgan doesn't exactly do lightning.
Yes,
exactly.
Yeah, you guys are without your instant
Don't say
win
Wait, wait, hold on, hold on. I, Corgan Stonehammer, eat thunder and crap lightning.
Yes, yes, of course.
That was very good, Tyr.
So, should we go with our last left off?
Yeah, do you want to tell everybody where we left off there, Malcolm, sir?
Having defeated everyone in the tower and got the last piece, we were heading back to Outskirt, victorious and full of pockets of gold. And then Corinne woke up. We had moved into the hollow, into the haunted swamp, and fortunately had a harrowing encounter with three will-o'-wisp. Though they were clad in the form of children, they are nothing but magic and fire, and set doom if one is not wise. As a matter of fact, I almost sank, and she was almost pulled into the marsh if it wasn't for Balor jumping in and saving me. We got past that, and then, as we were moving along stealthily through the swamp with Stiggy up front, well, much further ahead because we're terrible at bushcraft, she heard two voices. Apparently two men who were discussing something about trying to get a keg back to their camp. Mm-hmm. I think we did actually catch up with them, encountered them, sort of kind of confronted them.
Yep. Yes.
And told them that we'd be interested in helping them on their, we were going to help them with their keg, but we're going to say we're going to help them with their whatever problem with the giant and assisting them with Glam Glam, is what they call the giant. At least helping them with their treasure hunt or exploratory adventure they're doing.
Yep.
Expedition. Since we're hoping that maybe we can possibly, as we're all searching for it, find a statuette piece. Which we have made person not to mention to them at all.
So do you remember what the adventures looked like that you ran into?
Well, Adam...
There was a mallard and a wolfkin.
Yeah, because Adam was a Redford wolfkin.
Yeah.
Yes, he was.
He was short with a little white around the muzzle. Brian was a rather tall and buff mallard.
Brian Goosling.
I think he was missing a great number of his feathers. He looked kind of like he was like partially rotisserie. I guess tanned is what we can go with, but it's a mallard.
Yeah, he was plucked from the waist to his neck, completely plucked, and he had a six pack.
That's so unnatural.
Yeah. That is weird.
Yeah.
But, you know, to each his own, and, you know, I don't want to do any body shaming, so good for you and your efforts to be whatever you're going to be there someday.
Be your best
if you're not,
you.
If you're not there already. It's amazing how you can just go out like that in the world. That's a real talent.
Thanks. I work out a lot. I lift up heavy rocks, and I push stumps over, and, you know, stuff like that. You got to keep fit and healthy, and, you know, helps my job, you know.
I thought that was your... What is your job exactly?
You know,
what is your job, Brian?
I help, I help the other members of the party with heavy lifting activities that are not criminal.
Oh, that's a very specific way to put it. I mean, I was assuming you were just going to move rocks and stumps out of their fields or something, or open heavy doors, but I'm glad it's not criminal either.
I dare say that's interesting.
And Adam chimes in, what my friend's trying to say is...
I think he said plenty. That's pretty good for Adam. Thank you so much.
I go,
Adam, you can't... Don't let the challenge just need to have their little space. I'll sort of look over towards Brain and just make them, they feel better if they feel as if we're not helping them too much.
Out of curiosity, can a mallardkin be an identical twin to a wolfkin? Just glancing side eye.
Who knows?
I think that's a stretch.
We could add something to the fiction here.
No.
We could write our own Dragonbane supplement with crossbreeding of kin. And
let's not go with the
like
kin.
Let's
like not go
game.
With the kin crossing. Let's just go as it is.
So furry fanfiction.
Wow. Yeah, I don't want to go there.
you know, we got paid for these microphones somehow, so.
I'm already doing, okay. Let's just, anyway, all right.
So we could try that by recording a podcast.
No, I mean, but how do you make money? Anyway, so you're moving through the marshes. It is pretty tough for those of you of shorter stature because there are some pretty deep parts. The mosquitoes are terrible.
What do you mean deep parts?
The parts where
we have a elf who is leading us through the marshes.
Yeah, we're trying to go around those deep
parts. She's really good at her job.
It's still tough. I guess, okay, how good are you at your job there, Sagan? Let's give you a bush.
I could assist as well.
Assist.
I don't think you can assist with
that. Okay, she's too far.
You designate somebody a pathfinder. I think they're the ones. Yeah, otherwise it's just like a little.
Go ahead, pathfinder. Find us a path.
I succeeded in my bushcraft role.
All right.
Find us a path.
So you find a path.
It's make it all dry.
Not too bad. It's not all dry because it's a fucking marsh.
I'm sorry, but Brian pushed on a log that we can just cross over the sticky parts?
He might be able to help you.
Might be able to.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like,
don't you want to be good at your job, Brian?
I'm very good at my job.
I don't know. There seems to be some moisture that I may have to cross. You could take that tree and lay it across there.
Well, I could just lift you up. You're pretty light.
You could do that too.
Yeah. Come on, just
you could lift me as
grab
well.
Grab onto my arm.
Can
I get the other arm?
This is like my thing, but okay. You did save my life. And so, yeah, sure. Okay.
Oh, thank you so much.
So, yeah, if he wants to carry us in his arms, I'm cool.
he carries you like little babies.
Oh, this is very comforting.
Shame up. I don't mind. I have no problem with that, having been nearly sucked in the swamp to my death.
Yeah, his skin's super smooth.
Oh, that's nice. That's a comfort. I'll still move my cloak between him and his skin because I'm not really sure where it's been, but okay.
Yeah, don't get salmonella.
Is it smooth, or is it like when you pluck up, it's all
that's
like
what I'm thinking. I'm like, is it going to be like bumpy like a goose? But if it's not.
It's like 1,000 nipples. Like, all like,
you
right?
You think it's that just, if it was a recent thing, it would be bumpy. But it's been plucked.
I mean, he plucked himself a long time ago.
It might be velvet.
Hasn't he?
You don't see any kind of like plucking scars or anything like that. That's just not...
He moisturizes.
Super smooth.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, well, then I will just enjoy my duck leather seat ride to the swamp.
By the way, if you guys, I don't know if you noticed, but I've named these two after Brian and Adam from Dork Day.
Okay. I knew there was something to it.
Yeah, I just because you just
named him after them, right? Yes. Just say yes to that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Good. There's the relations.
Your Brian's not an idiot. Love you. Moving right along. So you're going through, and unless you're like asking them questions, they're not chit-chatting too much anymore.
Oh yes, ask them all kinds of questions. What do they like to eat? What are their favorite songs? What kind of songs do your group like? You know, where have you been that you've not done criminal things at? Subtle. No, I don't say criminal things. I just ask him where they've traveled, and I'll tell them where we've traveled.
Every so often, when there's a break in the conversation, you'll see Dane like raise a finger and start to pause his lips, and then look at a note in the book that he's carrying, and go, "Oh," and then just remain quiet.
None of the adventures that I speak of have any particular details, or any naming any places, or even actually giving locations. Just sort of vague descriptions of where and what we were. We were in a hole, and there were things in the hole. And we ran into goblins, I think. You know, just keep it all kind of just chitty-chatty vague, and see if they spill whatever they want to spill.
Dane is just looking down to the hastily written scrawl by Corinne in the book that says, "Don't speak Dane."
Yes. Very nice handwriting. I went to a special school.
We really haven't been in the Misty Vale that long. We were in outskirt for a while, and that really wasn't our scene. There seemed to be like a crew already working that area, and
it's a town.
Yeah. Well. Yeah.
Oh, you mean moving rocks and tree stumps? Yeah, there probably is a guy around there who does that.
Sure. we were going to check out this cave in the Kuma Mountains to see if there's like some treasure in there. But then we heard there some nasty rumors about maybe a basilisk or something in there. So we said, yeah, maybe we'll check that out later. And we went to this village up north of here, but we couldn't get past the barricade. And that was kind of weird. So we decided to, just look around and see what else is around. And, we found this tower and this kind of jerk giant who, like, won't get out of the way. Well, yeah, we're doing all right. It could be doing a little better, but if there's some good stuff in this tower, then we'll probably be doing pretty good. Hmm. What about you guys? What else are you guys doing?
Not much. We visited a small village that herds sheep. There's some cave. We met a wizard by a lake.
Ooh, a wizard, a real wizard.
Yes. Mm. Yes, a real wizard. We fought a giant in town, in outskirts. Mm.
Really? Wow.
Yes. Well, it wasn't a giant. It was actually an ogre. It was a mountain ogre? I think it was
something
a mountain ogre.
Something like that.
He climbed over the fence, climbed over the wall and was attacking someone's farm. Milf's farm, as I remember correctly.
It was a troll. Oops, sorry.
Troll. I'm sorry, it was a mountain troll.
Wow. Rock troll.
Yeah.
That's pretty badass. Respect.
Well, teamwork makes the dream work.
Mm.
Oh, there was an inn. Not a merry old inn. It was a terrible inn full of ghosts. It was cursed, and it was a trap. And all who went to it never came out until we went in there and destroyed and broke the curse.
Was it Hampton Inn?
I think it was La Quinta.
Though those are cursed. Not the same, no.
Hey, Brian?
Yeah?
Brian, that village to the north with the barricade, was that Black Ride Village?
Yeah, I don't know what it's called. We just saw this barricade.
What about you, Adam? Do you know the name of that village?
No, I don't think we ever saw the name of the village. That's a mystery.
We have a friend who has a cousin in a village up north. That's why we're asking.
A cousin, huh? Yeah, there's a lot of people coming to find their fortune here. But so we're close by. We should be to our campsite pretty soon. You'll get to meet Ursic One Ear, she goes by.
Does she have one ear?
Yeah.
Okay, I just didn't want to stare if they really has one ear. I mean, if you're just saying she's one ear and she has two ears, then there's a story.
Yeah, no, she's just got the one ear.
That's okay. Good story, I'm sure.
5 GMs in a Trench Coat is back. And this time with Season 3, as GM Tanlin uses Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition for her story.
Imagine the stench of fear, of sweat, and of blood. Cold stone beneath your palm as you feel your way down an impossibly dark and endless hallway. Here there's as much fear as there is isolation, and as much hopelessness as there is violence, or at least fantasies of it.
Join Callan Omoris Caldwell, played by Adam Gonzalez, Reen Sato, played by Kim Siyuki, Two and a Half Horns, played by Jesse Espinoza, and Ander Madison, played by Tanner Sherlock, as they navigate the Kingdom of Miltaunt and the horrors that await them.
So you guys hear, like, an alarm bell, like, fucking all the doors go shadunk, and then you also hear, like, coming from the ceiling.
5 Gems in a Trench Coat is a TTRPG actual play podcast where 5 friends take turns weaving stories through the tabletop game of their choice each season, with new episodes out every Monday wherever you get your podcasts.
We are in Silent Hill. It was just a joke before.
And before too long, you kind of find a little trail that probably looks like it hasn't been used in probably like 100 years or maybe more. you see a few tents in a clearing just beyond some trees.
They have tents.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we've got everything.
I wonder how much tents cost.
I think we have tents. I think it was on my shopping list or something.
We don't have tents.
Oh, okay. No tents.
We need the tents.
So, take us to your leader?
Yeah, she should be up ahead. And Adam puts his little fingers to his lips and does a short series of whistles. And you see a couple people stand out from the trees holding short bows. And they just kind of like watch as you approach and enter the campsite. Well, here we are.
How many would you say that we see?
In addition to Brian and Adam, you see four more bandits. There's one sitting by there's a little campfire there, and there's you see five tents total. And they look like they're probably the size for a couple of people each. By the fire, you do see someone that looks kind of familiar, and he turns his head and looks back at you guys, and it's introduce your character.
Yeah, right by the fire, you see there's like a sort of a wash basin with like one of those old scrubbers, and you see a guy with long blonde hair, kind of furs. He is scrubbing a large, oversized, soiled pair of like underwear, perhaps a giant-sized. And he turns around, his face, big smile. And you recognize him immediately as the guy whose cousin had the kid that was stolen in the Prophet's Tower. And he looks back, he goes, "Brian, you wild man, out there in the middle of the swamp and you find yourself a lady? Good catch, you."
Okay, I'll hop out of Brian's arms and go, "Darg, you bastard."
This surely does not bode well.
Yeah, a blank look goes over his face as he looks at each of you.
Oh, God.
Darg, my friend, he's
do you recall?
He's an idiot we found in the woods.
Remember, your nephew was kidnapped, rescued from the oracles in the caves?
Yes, terrible business with that oracle and the orcs and those other people.
I mean, he's not a bad idiot, you know.
Wait a minute. I remember you owed me 10 gold.
It's you. And hello. He kind of stands up and knocks some of the water over.
You're good. Oh, God. You're good. I'll climb back up into Brian's
He comes
arms.
Over with wet, ringing hands.
No, clasps
you on the shoulder.
Oh, nastiness.
Good to see you again.
Well, it's definitely good to see you. Well, it's interesting to smell you, too. But good that you're well.
I didn't think things could smell worse than the swamp.
This giant's loincloth isn't going to clean itself.
God.
You need a giant's loincloth.
There's a giant they're working for.
Oh, you're working for a giant. So this is like a prison. You're cleaning the underwear of a giant. Oh, I understand.
I think they want... Let's go talk to the leader.
Well, ask me how I know that.
You know. He looks over at Brian. I know these fine people. Mm-hmm. Excellent adventurers.
Oh, that was a bit strong.
Well, that's great. So you can vouch for them?
Oh, yes,
that's
totally.
Adam, by the way.
Completely. It's like I've known them for years.
Days. Yes.
I don't remember him going up.
It was dark in the cave, okay?
I'll go along.
Yeah, that sounds great. That's great. It's so good to see you. And I guess the family is much better now that your nephew is home safe.
Yes.
You do have a nephew. Yes, okay.
Oh, yes, he is fine.
All right. Okay.
None the worse for wear for almost being eaten by the... Well, I see. I went down to the tavern. I got some drinks, some soup.
The child was in his...
And then I hired on with these folks a few weeks later, or a few days later, and here I am.
We deliver the child to the parents, so I did not trust them. So it's okay. We're good. Yeah. Well, that sounds like you build your days.
Yeah, what a coincidence. You two know each other, and Adam.
I look at Adam and go, Adam, it's a valley. It literally is a mist-filled valley. It's not like all of the country of the world is spread out before us. It's a valley.
Adam's looking little suspicious. He's got kind of like, yeah, oh yeah, it's a small valley. This could happen anywhere, of course. Just, you know, literally. In a swamp. Yep, middle of swamp. Yep, totally normal. Yep.
Like we wanted to be in the middle of a swamp.
Ursic.
Ursic 20 or.
Oh yeah, and Dargling for. Just so you know, she has one ear. Don't stare.
At the ear, damn, or the place where the ear is supposed to be.
I don't think she can tell if you're staring at her good ear.
Is the ear attached?
Well, if you stare at her from the one side, she can't tell.
Because she's got a prosthesis ear.
It doesn't, ears don't work. Okay.
I'm just trying to figure this out. It's confusing.
Just. But out of the tent comes a tall, muscular, redheaded woman. She's probably about 6 feet tall. Maybe late.
Human. In a gross way.
Late 30s, early 40s ish.
Early 40s.
And you can see the scar, the whole area where her ear was. It looks like it was like ripped off, as well as the skin like above the ear. There's a scar that kind of goes up the side of her head.
Holy moly!
Like the whole like the ear was like, was ripped upward.
But like in a hot way.
Well, it depends what's hot for you.
It doesn't look like it happened recently, like a giant just ripped it off before she walked in the door.
This is a well healed over.
Okay, begin looking at the eye on the opposite side of the face from the torn up ear.
Yeah, she's like sharpening a dagger as she comes out and is looking you all over as she like kind of slowly approaches you, and she's kind of got her chin up, kind of looking at you from the side, and the way she moves is kind
like
of
a lonely dancer?
Subtle,
cat-like,
beautiful, but also kind of menacing. Cat-like is probably a
kind of like a panther or kind of like a kitten.
Yeah, it's a lean towards panther.
God, dug it.
Like steel panther,
like a cougar.
Yes, like a cougar. She did say 45, 50 ish.
Jesus Christ.
We're going to hell.
Thank you for that, like a cougar. So, Adam, who are these folks? Where'd you find them? Well, Ursic, we were coming back with the keg here. We ran into them in the marsh, and they seem like good, trustworthy folks, solid adventurers. And hey, look, Darg is vouching for them. And she takes a look at Darg and kind of like tries to catch her eyes, Darg. And, you know, how do you look at her when she like can meet her eyes?
Well, he's respectful. He doesn't want to stare at her ears. So he basically just stares at her chest.
Sniffs his fingers from working in the loincloth.
Kind of nervously shuffles back and forth.
So, well, don't be rude. Adam, why don't you introduce these folks to me? I was like, well, this one here, the alpha, that's Sigyn, right? That's your name?
That's correct, yes. It's a pleasure to meet you all.
Yeah, she seems to be a good pathfinder. She's, you know, almost fell in pools a couple times on the way back. It's pretty good. And the dwarf there, that's
excuse me?
Baylor?
Yeah, I mispronounced my name. Baylor, Baylor, sir, please. You know your betters. I am Baylor Banefire, my lady. It's so good to meet you.
She nods at you. And this halfling is Corinne.
Corinne Rinesmith, the Saddlewood Rinesmith.
Corinne, you still got some of that stuff on your chin.
Wipey-wipe.
So you got a lute. Are you, can you play it?
Yes, I can.
Yeah, it'd be nice to have some music around camp.
I was trying to ask Adam what kind of music you like, but he was kind of not really ambivalent, but I have a decent song list. We should be able to work through it.
I'm sure whatever you want to play will be fine for these people.
Oh, good. What about that giant?
And we've got this, the mallard here. His name is Quiverwing.
Mac.
You are such a terrible Quiverwing.
Wow, that's...
As and opposed to his usual indignation, but okay.
This other halfling here, that's Corgan Stonehammer. Who wants to do Corgan?
Who you call a halfling? I'm a dwarf.
There you go. And then finally we have this human here. I think his name is Blaine. Is that right? Bane?
It's Dane. I can write it down for you if you wish. Dane.
I don't know.
That wouldn't help.
They don't read.
I could teach you to read. That's.
And I go, Adam, please don't forget the last two parts of our party. Brain and, well.
Oh, yeah, this tall, extremely good-looking Wolfkin is, they call him Brains. I guess he's their leader.
I just mouth ironically.
So what made you all want to join up with us? Did they tell you what we're doing?
We're wild horticulturists.
Just that you had found something to explore and needed more assistance, and we're here to we said, why not? After all, we were crossing through the swamp after dealing with a horrible experience at the Dead End Inn.
Well, I have to say that we've heard many a rumor about this tower. It's rumored to be called the Tower of Sighs. And if you stick around long enough, you'll hear the spirits within calling out. But that's not what's holding us up right now. What's holding us up right now is this giant who's taking up residence on the main floor. We thought we'd come to an arrangement with him where we would do odds and ends, chores here and there.
No point towards the britches.
Yeah.
Keg.
Food and... And just all kinds of things. And you know, Glam Glam is probably a little smarter than he looks. And right, it's been a few weeks now. He's still not letting us get to the cellar. There's this giant boulder in the way. And you know, none of us are really strong enough to move it. So we kind of need the giant. But... We feel like he's never actually going to let us in there. So we're trying to think of ways that we can negotiate with him to let us through. And we can use any help we can get, even some extra muscle, which you know, you lots seem to have... quite a bit of.
Well, so he isn't willing to negotiate for a portion of whatever is down there?
Well, you know, that's the thing. He doesn't seem to be too interested in any, artifacts or treasure or anything like that. He basically just wants us as servants as long as we're, you know, he's kind of keeping what we want, away from us. I know we're being strung along, but I thought he would get bored of it eventually, but he doesn't seem to have gotten bored of it quite yet.
Would you get bored with people doing all things for you?
That's why I'm here in the Misty Vale. If I wanted to do that, I probably would have stayed back in the cities. You know, here I can make my own path, and here I've got this loyal band that's assisting me, and we're finding our own way, and it's pretty exciting, don't you think? Just this undiscovered land.
So among your numbers, you're unable to move the boulder yourselves, or is he preventing you from doing so?
Well, not sure we could move it ourselves. But we really haven't gotten the opportunity because the giant is in the way. If the giant weren't in the way anymore, we might be able to maybe, between the lot of us, figure out a way to get that boulder out of there.
So the giant is in the way of preventing you from trying to move the boulder then. Sounds like a problem messily solved.
Oh, God. I mean,
it's a dangerous proposition. I know that you can kind of hear what I've been talking about, the subtext.
Subtext.
Violence is a pretty possible option, and one we're not too shy to handle.
There'd be no other means? You've looked around the tower itself. There's no other means of entry to this lower level?
No, there's really not much of a tower left. It's really just pieces of wall and the lower area and whatever the collapsed part of the tower that's leading down into whatever's in the cellar area. So there's really no other levels to check out, and unless I can get a crew of dwarves to dig out from underneath the tower, bypassing the tower completely. Yeah, I don't think I'm getting down there.
Excavation in a swamp? That sounds dangerous.
Dark will slowly raise his hand.
Yes, Dark.
Sniffs it first.
So hear me out, boss. If you kill the giant, though, won't we just have the boulder, and then the giant will be laying in front of the boulder? It doesn't fix it. It's got to be something we can do to trick him or get him to help us. This guy Brains, they call him Brains. He's a smart guy. Maybe he can think of something.
I'm just furiously shaking my head.
And I will be doing the same.
Ursic looks to you, looks to Brains, looks to you again, tilts her head a little bit. And is like,
please, well, please tell me Brains is picking his nose.
He's actually scratching the wood plank on his head right now. I was like, it looks like he's actually trying to get an itch, but he can't quite get it. We could sneak past the giant and I could lift up the boulder, and then problem solved.
That was Brain's plan?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just looked back at Ursic and raised an eyebrow and I told you.
We'll take that under consideration, Brains. Thank you for your input.
So all he's ever wanted is just people to do particular tasks for them. There's nothing else that we can find out as far as the nature of his desires. Is he lonely? Does he want to hear music? If he does not want treasure, then he wants something else. And it seems to be the servitude or companionship.
I wouldn't call him a great companion, but none of us are musicians, so we haven't played for him, of course. But I don't know. He seems to be having fun, just stringing us along. That seems to be. Yeah, after dealing with him for a little bit, that seems to be what is, amusing him right now.
And what's in the tower above him?
It's really just vines and sky.
Question for you, GM.
Yeah.
Would I know anything about the history or the habits of giants with beast lore?
Yeah, you can give me a beast lore.
All right. Got beast lore. It's a 13. And I rolled an 18. So, ooh. No. Sorry, 16.
I would say no. You are trying to remember, and you go, no, that's a Kalidon.
I also have beast lore. I can try as well.
I suppose if you're trying to...
see what might entice them or might, inspire them to some form of action.
Okay.
And I missed it by one. So I also do not know shit about giants.
Oof. Well, you suck.
They just don't know much about giants.
Don't encounter a lot of them in the elven kingdoms.
Yeah, giants are super mysterious.
They witches are betrayed by their appetites.
So what are giants? When's a helper not a helper, guys? Come on now. When I was a kid and I had to do chores, I'd always screw them up. My dad would get mad, he'd hit me with a stick and send me on my way. I didn't have to do the chores after a while because he said, you're too stupid. But maybe we do the things for him wrong.
Burn his underpants, drink all his beer. What else
did he have to do? Maybe put something in his beer or his food.
Put his underpants in the beer.
We tried that with the troll.
So your plan is to get hit with the stick by the giant.
I think they could.
Well,
him to voice his displeasure at your lack of ability to do chores seems a bit harsh.
The stick might be troublesome, but if we could make him want us to go away or leave him alone, maybe he'll do the task.
Question. Is the place that the boulder is blocking, is it big enough for the giant? Is it big enough that the giant could get in there? Or can the giant not go in there?
Yeah, I don't think the giant would fit.
He's giant.
We could anger him and make him want to throw the giant boulder at Darg or, any other member of the party.
He may have other weapon besides just the boulder, but we could try it, I suppose. But what was it? I can't remember that. No one does.
What if we tied a chain around the boulder and around his ankle, and we fed him bad food?
He'll just crap in there.
And you presume he's going to sit still while we put the chain around his ankle?
You also assume he's going to stay there. Not stay there if he gets sick.
Are there any histories or stories about giants from, like I say, a myths and legends role that might shed some light on this kind of subject?
Ooh. Myths and legends. Pat recently went up to 11.
Have it at 15.
Okay, yeah. So you know a lot more than didn't you?
It's probably a bit more vague than a beast lore role. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if you want to.
Myths and legends. Mm. I'll make a roll.
Wow. I have it at a 15. I rolled a 19. So yeah, Dane is.
So yeah, Dane is in our discussing of stories.
He's just staring at the ear. He's staring at the ear, trying so hard not to ask about it.
Motherfucker, I missed it too. So yeah, our giant stories are they're tall as trees and super hungry.
They like beans.
Do they?
Well, can we observe the giant or meet the giant? Maybe. Yeah.
Can I use bushcraft to determine his stool in his loincloth to see what he eats? I have ideas.
I mean, he's in there now. I mean, he might be sleeping, but
now's the perfect time to go scout it out.
Yeah, he can be pretty grumpy though when he wakes up. But I mean, it's as long as you're not within reach, he probably won't crush you.
How big is his tower that we cannot be in reach? I imagine a man sitting in a barrel. Everything's within reach.
Yeah,
at least like, you guys.
It has to be big enough for him to have gotten in.
Yeah.
True enough.
Well, there's a good section of wall that's missing.
Oh, okay. Well, who wants to
see? You can see, like, she points, look at the far southeast end, that wall, crumbled wall there, that's where the entrance is. The door used to be over on that side too, but that's all just rubble.
Well, tell you what, I will go in and scout about the place and see what the interior looks like. Certainly.
I'm not particularly good, but I figured I'd just go look around too.
Good, the odor back there was frightening.
Oh my god. I was like, I don't even think it'd help if you burned them all. And I think it's like, this is why I keep telling Quivering, fire is also your friend.
Yes.
I'm going to cover them from the tree line.
So we're going to sneak up to the...
we might be sneaking, won't we?
Yep.
Oh dear. This should be fun.
I am saying far enough away that I don't have to sneak.
Okay. What am I rolling or am I just sneaking up?
Yeah, rolling your sneak.
Okay.
I made it by 8.
Dark got a roll of 17. He has a 6.
Where are you going? Yeah, but it was just me and her.
Oh, just the two of you.
Yes.
Right. You take like 2 or 3 steps. I start like whistling behind you. You're like,
finish the pants.
All right. I guess I'll go hang these up to dry.
In a swamp. Yeah, so I'll make mine.
Mess up that job. It'll be fine.
Yeah. Just move it away from camp. You don't need to finish it. Oh, good. I'll make mine by 6. But I don't think it matters as long as we succeed.
Yeah.
So yeah, we will, as far as we're concerned, we've successfully snuck into the tower.
So you sneak up to the opening, the wall that's crumbled away, climbing over vines, avoiding brambles. You're super, super quiet. And you peek over the an opening in the wall, and you see the a giant, huge, like so much bigger than the troll, probably twice the size of the troll. Is sitting in the room that can like barely contain him. Like you can see, there's like a. Like half this tower floor looks like it's used as like a bed, and you kind of looking behind you into the marshy area, and you see kind of what you think would you would describe as the latrine area.
Do we see it or just smell it?
You smelled it first, and that's what made you kind of look behind you.
I wouldn't look.
Okay.
I would just kind of just say it's.
But he is up and facing your way in a way, but he's not looking at you right now. Looks like he's kind of taking this log and carving it into a spear.
So he looks like fit or like slovenly?
I mean, what's fit? There's just a lot of meat on this thing. Pretty long hair.
You do realize we're not cannibals, right?
long scraggly. I'd say more scraggly, but like sagging gray-green flesh.
Is that healthy for this thing?
Deep-set eyes, a large furrowed brow, and he's got this kind of this knife. That's, you know, it was made from a sharpened rock, essentially. And he's like shaving this tree down into the rough shape of a spear.
Is there any sign of what kind of things he's been eating in here?
Yeah, you do see chunks of wool, some bones, as well as bones from larger things, not sure what they are.
So this is like Dar's place after a date, is what you're telling me.
Like an embiggen size.
Yeah. So like wild game and domesticated animals. Right then. Do we see the giant boulder that's blocking the path?
Yeah, it's in the center of the room. There's a one large boulder and a bunch of smaller boulders.
Shall we just try and open negotiations? I just don't see what we can do.
Do we want to be bold about it? Oi, what's it going to take for you to move that boulder?
I don't know. I'm curious as far as his relationship with the previous crew is. I mean, there's nothing lost by letting them do that. They're not going to blow up the tower, but he's not let them in. And I'm curious as to why.
We can go report back.
But I think they're fully aware of the situation, but we need to tell our group.
Yes.
Okay.
But I was going to just tell Nathan, I'm drinking from the barrel while they're in there.
No.
He's going to start the keg party.
I'm out here waiting. I'm going to have some drink.
We can always poison the food or drink.
That sounds... I mean, we don't even know his motivations. I mean...
Well, not necessarily to try and kill him. Right. More to give him the shits so he leaves the space.
Do you really think that kind of person would leave the shit, leave here for the shits? They just made your shit in here. I mean...
Well, he did have the latrine outside.
Yes, when he decided to get up and go use it. He saw those pants he was scrubbing.
Fair point.
And it's not like he was like, he kind of like, well, I got too full. I better just go out there and squeeze him out. At least that's kind of how I imagine it. Well, I can go, I mean, I could talk to him and you go report.
Yeah, we can do that. You sure you'd like to be left alone? Just
absolutely not. It's a terrible idea.
Every time you two glance back at the tree line where the camp is, you see like a hand from the trees going...
Tell you what, if you stay within the entryway of the door so you can get out quickly.
All right. That may not save me, but I'll try.
Yes.
He leans to the side and just you hear this like long rumbling expulsion of
ooh, get out. and then get low because I know hot air rises. Big happening and something nice like oh thank God.
On the other hand, is there a torch nearby?
No. Jesus.
I did say light him on fire.
Yeah, let's go back and tell them.
Yep, so we will go ahead and relay our scouting reports to the rest of the party.
Get back and say, he seems to be alert and conscious. He is currently preparing a spear.
And flatulence.
What have you been feeding him?
You know, whatever we can catch. He likes sheep, but we usually have to go out of the swamp for that usually.
And how many weeks have you been here serving him?
Over 3 weeks.
And you believe it is whatever's in there is worth that?
He's a fat shit. Let's kill him.
Well, you know this. It's we're pretty sure that nobody else has been in there, and if there's anything in there to be found, we want to be the first ones. And I'm sure we can work out an amiable split.
If we assist you, yes, of course. But if you guys figure it out on your own, but yeah.
What if we painted a face, a monster face on the rock while he's sleeping, and then we make noises and wake him up and he'll attack the monster and
go
throw
find
it.
Some finger paint, dog, and we'll come back to that.
Well,
paint would be no.
There is a plethora of it, if you don't mind, a brown monster.
No, I think he's making his own brown monsters.
I have a question. Does the giant have anything that it considers valuable, like treasures, gold, coins?
That's a good thing. That's a good question.
And if so, where does it keep it?
Well, that's the thing, is I don't think it does. I mean, if it doesn't...
Well, let's ask the people who have been here for a couple of weeks.
Not that I know of. If it does, it would be probably somewhere in its bedding area.
Okay. Or I was wondering if it had something particularly valuable, would it hide it under the rock?
I mean, it's possible. It's possible that it put the rock there. I really don't know.
If it's that bloody lazy, I don't see it moving the rock for any... hiding any valuables.
If we take his underwear back to him and put some poisonous things in it, that'll take too long to irritate him.
Like rub some nettles in there?
No.
Oh, yes. We could do that. Set up some sort of trap outside the tower when he comes to vent his frustration and then ambush him.
Yes, I like that. Let's kill him.
Killing him doesn't help us, though.
Yes, it does, because he's dead and we can just move the stone.
It's a big stone.
Just look at us. It's all about leverage. I'm a dwarf. These things can be done. Please, please. You have to trust me.
There's always Brian. He's really good at lifting things.
Oh, yeah. I can lift that rock.
Oh. Because
he hasn't seen it, but yeah, I can lift that rock.
I mean, we could try talking to him. There's nothing.
Let's go
there's
try
nothing,
talking
There's
to
nothing
him.
Lost in that. I mean, you're going to deliver the beer anyway. Why not just let us deliver the beer?
What beer? Is that the beer he's drinking?
Yes.
let Dane parlay with it.
Parlay? Did you really want to call that?
I don't
such a lovely history of parlaying with giants.
I mean, this beer I've been drinking? Oh.
Fuck all of you.
Now we know the title of the episode.
Fuck all y'all.
Parlaying with giants.
But am I correct that the beer is for the giant, yes?
Yes. Well, oh, well, you're drinking that? Oh.
Well, yes, that's what it's here for, right?
No, but...
oh, Adam, he's you're supposed to be watching small that. Fellow.
We can water it down. They'll never know.
Mm. Well, yeah, you're not wrong, but, yeah, let's...
Dark, are you peeing in that keg? Are you?
No, he's not.
I mean, not at the moment.
Don't. Just cork it. Let's take it up to him.
Okay.
All right, who's taking it
up? Oh, not me. I couldn't. I'm not very good at lifting things. Oh, Brian, you look good at lifting stuff.
Yeah. I'll go help.
I'll follow him up.
Wait, look. How many of you people are coming up here to talk to this guy? How many of you people talk to people?
Bernie, if you're not going to go, I mean, you're the talker.
I talk to everybody I meet.
He talks to anybody he meets. There's a difference.
I mean, in volume...
sometimes anything, too.
Corinne, in volume three of your memoirs, you clearly said, I am the leader because I am the best communicator.
No, I said, I should be leading because I'm the best communicator, but our leader is brains.
Well, I'll annotate your histories then.
Remember, if there's any situation, and they say, bring us a leader, that's brains. The leader must pay, brains.
Well, let's go. For all of us who want to go, let's go.
All right, so who's going up? Brian Goosling? Go.
Yeah, I'm going as well.
Well, because we need Goosling to carry the keg. So, wait a second, we have
Dane will go.
Dane?
Well, I guess we have Kurgan, can't we?
Yeah, Kurgan can lift it.
Okay, yeah, we'll just have Brian stay here as our backup in case we need him. And we'll have Kurgan carry it.
Okay, so Kurgan, Dane, Siggy, and Baylor. All right.
Yes.
Wait, so, am I going?
Oh, are you going?
She's going.
Yes.
You're you're talking. Okay.
Yeah, right, but so I'm going to tell you. I will leave some instructions, of course. Anything happens, you know what to do, Quiverwing. Let's give them electric boogaloo.
So we like that scene from Thor, but you carry the up, and you're not sneaking up. You're just walking casually.
Yeah. We're making a delivery.
It would be impossible even if I tried.
I don't know if that's a good idea. As we're walking up there, I'm saying.
So you stop in your tracks?
I'm saying this as we're walking up there. So it may be a good idea that we're delivering the beer. It makes the appearance. Nope, that's fairies. We should be fine.
I'm going to go and see if I could see any irregularities at entrances and, other
entrances. Yeah, it's broken.
Yeah, it's, if you want to make your artisan skill roll, but,
artisan skill.
You approach, and as you approach, as you're approaching at first, you hear him still carving away at the spear. And then when you get a certain distance, you hear it stop.
The word stop?
No, you hear the scraping, the carving stop. And when you round the corner and come into view, he looks a little puzzled, and you see him kind of like eye the keg as his...
Where are the others? Who are you?
Hello, Glam Glam. I am Corinne, and these are my compatriots, and we're coming here to find out what it would take you to move. Well, we need to move the boulder and go below. But apparently you have a contract with that other group of people.
Where are they? What did you do to them?
They're still out there camping. Why? You don't trust them?
Pity.
Why pity?
They've been Lexter. Agreement done.
They made an agreement with you.
Yes.
And what did the agreement entail that they have failed on?
The boars they bring me have been small and gaming.
And how long were they supposed to acquire these, and what was the size and weight of boars to be set and delivered?
You talk very fast.
Okay, it's very small, that's why. How big of a... what is the weight size of the boars you are requesting, and for how long were they supposed to be bringing you boars? When were you... and what time were you supposed to deliver on your end of the contract if there was a date, time, or set?
You speak like... lawyer.
I know, it's a form of evil. But it's not my... it is not my occupation tongue. It is a different way to do it.
Glenglam has agreement with other people. They do things for me.
And you do what?
I move boulder.
But the boulder seems to be in the same place, right? As when they started.
They aren't done. There's still much to do.
And is there a finite number that they must... is there a point where they can reach where you will move the boulder? Or are you just pushing that further back until you can no longer have the strength to move such boulder?
You five. Five. You five.
There's more of us, BS.
You look better. You look like you know a good-sized boar.
No, wouldn't know a boar if he saw one. I know a song about
it. I make agreement with you. No more agreement with those guys. You find boar for Glenglam.
One boar and you move the boulder?
You find boar for Glenglam.
One boar and you move the boulder. Out of the tower and 40 feet beyond the latrine.
If it is the boar...
No, you must define the boar right now. How big the boar must be.
You.
How big must the boar be that you will move the boulder 40 feet beyond the latrine?
Get up. Go, you. Fancy talk.
It seemed to waste perfectly good beer on us.
You leave beer.
No.
Glam, that's not even a part of the negotiation.
Yeah, if you want us to leave the beer, you have to move the boulder.
And you have to talk to them.
We will trade you one boulder for one keg of beer.
While they're talking, yeah. And Jane is trying very hard not to talk, he's gonna try to observe the area,
okay,
and look to see if there's anything, passages, writing, anything he might recognize, anything that
might indicate
there might be more than one way into this place.
I made my roll by three.
I'm just keeping him occupied with my lawyer speak.
Do you want a spot hidden or anything?
No, you're looking around, and so Malcolm, why don't you make a persuasion or bartering, whatever you...
I was using craft here because that's my
thing.
Yeah, that's what Nathan said to use. I could use either or, though.
Yeah, and for Dane, you're looking around, you see remnants of like old like orcish graffiti.
Hmm. Can I read it?
Yeah, you just see it's mostly like names. You see like a name like Glunt and Acha and stuff like that. Just mostly names. And actually, roll me a spot hidden also.
Okay. Yes, I get the spot hidden on the nose. Wow, my rolls are shit tonight.
You've tuned them for D&D.
Yeah.
But I at least made this one, so that's something.
You do see a little shine of some glass from the bedding area on the other, on the far side of the tower.
Okay. Are we all sort of milling around while we're talking?
We're all sort of like hanging out by the door, I think. In case this guy goes into a rage and we need to... escape.
Run away.
So excuse me, Glam Glam?
Yeah.
Your laundry person, big man washing your loincloth.
Yes, it's late.
He said that he's ready for the next load. Do you have your? He said you were going to wash his bedding.
He looks back.
I'd like to bluff if I could.
Sure.
I did make my persuasion though.
You did make it.
Mm-hmm.
And I do make it. I do make my bluffing.
I'm glad that I make deal with you. You get four. I move boulder.
Okay. We get a boar, and you move a boulder. Move that boulder.
Yes.
How far will you be moving that boulder?
Move boulder or outside tower.
Okay. Glam Blam?
In the meantime, do you want me to take your laundry back to the laundress?
Laundress?
Starg.
That's the...
We don't know what Darg identifies as. So
he identifies as bastard. Mm. It identifies as bastard, so it's lawn. It's lawn bastard.
The lawn Darg.
It looks like the animal skins that are making a good bulk of the of the bedding area.
Yeah.
He stands up, and you see like this thing is just you come up to like its knees. And it reaches over and grabs a couple of the animal skins.
Right.
And you see some stuff shift around, but the glass thing is still kind of in there. And it throws them at you and almost like covers like most of it. You're not like, I'm not going to like hit you with anything, but you can move out of the way. It's like,
that I will definitely make a point of dodging.
Got it. And just grabs the bedding.
And it hits the wall in front and just and folds over and like this big slap sound. This big wet, moist slap sound.
Oh, brain. I've already left.
Glam Glam?
Yes.
Do you feel safe around those other people?
No, but Glam Glam Big, they try and like crush your skulls.
So he picks up a rock and like smashes it into like.
Okay, we're gonna go get that boar. I just want to make sure you think you're gonna be all right if we go and they're still hanging around. All right, see, we got it. We leave.
Big boar, big boar.
Big boar. Okay. All right.
So I go and bring the bedding. I was like, as we're walking back with it, I was like, he's got some things hidden in the bedding area. Something shiny made of glass. It caught my eye, but I couldn't quite see it, and I can't get to it.
The statuette is made of
stone. No, it's not the statuette. The
statuette's stone.
Stone, right?
But so there are some other things in there, and I don't know why that caught my eye, but it did.
Well,
if somebody could distract him, maybe going back with the laundry or something, maybe one of our quieter folk could get back in.
We can always check when he moves the boulder, but well, you're right.
Do you really think he's gonna move the boulder?
No, probably not gonna leave it, but we'll see. Yeah, you're right. Good point. I'll see what I can do. So, Siggy, my dear.
Shall I go in search of a boar?
Oh, God, yet another night sky. Please go find the biggest boar you possibly can.
Do we want to send... Since this isn't Pathfind, this is kind of like hunting. Oh, hunting and fishing. Oh, do we have other people who can do it?
I can hunt and fish.
Okay.
I've seen it. I mean, I've heard stories of people who did it in song.
Well, I've read a book on it, and I'm willing to help.
Well, I don't know. I mean, and that sounds a lot better than my details, which is simply just, you know, a lot of frolicking with bows.
Brains has at a 14. He's actually pretty good.
As do I.
Hmm.
Okay.
Darg is good at hunting soup.
Cabbage soup. Oh, Darg! By the way, they sent the giant sent this bedding and something else. But
excellent.
Why are you give that to Adam to work?
Idle hands make no good.
Yeah,
jar wash.
I'm going to spend the. Okay. I'm going to spend the. Can I? Could I spend the 3 willpower points and use adaptive? And because I've read many stories about hunting and fishing with my bushcraft. So would you allow me to adapt for that situation?
Yeah, I'm sure there's lots of books that you could have read on bushcraft.
Okay. Well, no, I have bushcraft at a high skill. I mean hunting
and fishing, yeah.
Okay. So
in the meantime.
Three different directions?
I will scout the area to look for signs of what might be boars.
All right.
I guess I'll talk to Wicked One here.
And I'll go in a different direction looking for boars.
Ursic?
Yes, m'lady.
That's very kind of you. I think, well, that didn't quite work out. I thought maybe I could help with the negotiations, but it pretty much ended up your new faces. You will need to bring me a boar before I will talk to you again.
Oh.
So, we're going out to get a boar so he will talk to us.
Well, if you think it'll work, I mean...
I don't. I don't really know.
Honestly, one other day won't ruin us. So, Chris, in tier, roll a d6 if you succeeded on your hunting and fishing.
I haven't rolled it yet. I succeed. I rolled it.
I succeed very well.
All right. Brains did as well.
Roll Dragon well.
And roll a d6.
2. 6.
Dane, you are an excellent hunter. You find a crow.
Oh.
Both Siggy and Brains bring back a deer, each.
It's not a boar.
Again! Snow! they taste very different.
I mean, they're big like boars. I mean...
Perhaps if we sew it together, he won't know the difference.
I mean, not as big as that boar that we fought back in the way. Remember the big white one with the fire breathing?
Oh, yes. Yes, just recently, actually. How far away was that?
That was outside of the Misty Vale.
Outside of the Vale.
Oh, that's right. Oh,
yeah. We've got deer, guys. Do you think we could fool him, or think he'll know the difference?
I think he will know the difference. He might be persuaded by the volume of meat versus the boar.
He might. Yes, we say we got him something better.
Yes.
Yeah.
We should let him know the boar offerings in this area are very poor indeed. And said we have these been two hunting. Deer.
They have been hunting boar.
Is it, would it be possible to, using some of the local herbs and plants, dose the meat so he might get, it might be harder for him to think and realize what he's eating?
I think he's got eyes.
Right, he's got eyes, but if we cook it and cover it in a sauce and then he eats something that makes him stupider.
Yeah, I think you'd honestly would need to have the poisoning talent.
Yeah, I don't think any of us are poisoners.
I had poison to start with as a scholar, but we used it on the troll.
Yeah, I think there isn't a
skill called poisoning.
Would bushcraft let you know if there were certain kinds of plants that might make you have the runs or something or sleepy or is that healing?
I would think it's bushcraft for that sort of thing.
Sounds like bushcraft. I thought there would be a poison talent, but or heroic ability, but maybe it's not heroic.
Poisoning really known as the real hero's skill.
Yeah. Yeah. Scholars get poison to start, but they don't have a way to create it. It's kind of weird.
Yeah,
just buy it at the store.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have to make our own class then with our own heroic abilities.
A poisoner,
assassin. So bushcraft is definite maybe. Yeah, that really seems to be the closest.
Or healing. As always, two signs of that. But yes, healing could be one.
Mm-hmm.
So we should plan on offering him up the two deer instead of the one measly meager boar.
And I will ask Quivering if he can find out if any of the animals have seen a boar in the area.
Or one of the, you still have your animal companion?
I do not. The fox is not native to this region, but I can find another one in this area.
What happened to your fox?
The fox, it stays in its native region. It doesn't
leave. And once you leave in its region, it stops.
So you could make another one.
I could search for another one, yes.
And that might know where we could find some boars.
A swamp beast.
Yes, give me a swamp beast.
It's a giant swamp boar.
Maybe you can make friends with the boar.
So boars do actually, they do like wet and muddy areas.
They live everywhere. Like, they're horrible.
I mean, apparently in Texas, there are hordes of them just rampaging about the countryside.
Yeah, there's a problem.
As you look over the game that you found and you start negotiating, and seems that you're coming to a conclusion, Ursic agrees with the plan to offer up both the deer to Glam Glam to try to see one last shot at negotiation before, you know, alternative methods are necessary. And Dane, you are, as this discussion is going on, you wander off a little bit into the woods. As you think you see some little white flowered vines that you seem to recall from a book that you read that does offer some some anesthetic type qualities.
They're not Edelweiss.
Edelweiss. But and that's where we're at. As the camera zooms up through the trees, through the mist, and the other monsters, the dragons and the hydras are all converging on your area. That's all.
It's a giant boar leaves.
Thank you so much for watching, everybody. Thanks for playing. It's been a few weeks. It's been a really hard spring trying to get together to play these dumb games with each other, but really appreciate having Matt back. So
yay!
Our
fearless leader.
Listen to our prequel episodes.
And he just set up a Patreon. So
right, really? Because this will be like what, like 2025 when this airs.
All right, but thanks everybody.
Thanks everybody. Cheers.
Yeah.
Have a good night.
Hi, this is Matt, the co-host of the Advanced Age Role-Playing Gamers podcast, and you've been listening to our latest actual play, Mirth, Magic, and Mayhem, using the Dragonbane TTRPG from Free League Publishing, based on the classic Swedish role-playing game, Drakkar Demoner. If you like what you hear, please follow, like, and subscribe to our YouTube channel and anywhere else you find podcasts. We also really appreciate feedback and chatting with folks, so feel free to tweet us, comment on our YouTube, or leave us a review so we can reach even more people. You can also visit our website at www.theaarpgs.com, where you can read more about the cast, listen to old episodes, and even shop our store for cool Geek Chic merchandise. This story features Malcolm and Nathan as co-GMs. Malcolm will also be playing the role of Karin, a halfling bard. Nathan will be playing the role of Brains, a wolfkin thief. Our players for this story are Tyr as Dane Ringson, a human scholar. Sean as Baelor Banefire, a dwarven smith. Chris as Sigyn, an elven huntress. Anthony as Corgan Stonehammer, a halfling fighter. And Tim as Quivering, the Mallard Mage. Character artwork created by Nemesis to Anthony Cupo and friend of the show, Jody P. Schaefer, whose work you may recognize from Metacopolix, Marikari, Megas XLR, and MTV's Downtown. Contact him when the time is right. You'll know how and when. Music licensed through Dark Fantasy Studios and SoundCue. Sound effects by Nathan. using Kronos Weaponizer, Studio, and Dehumanizer using libraries from Boom Library, SoundCube, Kronos, and his own recordings. So thank you again for taking time to sit down with us at our gaming table. And until next time, remember, you're never too old to roll.